Hello, church. Today we will be looking at 2 Samuel chapter 24. Hopefully you guys have read the entire chapter already, verses 1 through 25. And so this is obviously the final chapter in 2 Samuel. And you've seen this journey of really what the Lord has been doing, his faithfulness, his decrees, the things that he desires. And so now we're sort of at the end of what's going on with the story of David. And there's a lot of interesting things for us to really look at. For some people that are more historical nerds, I think the first part, verses 1 through 9, would be of interest because it talks about a census and it's very particular about the places and the people. And that this section, although it sounds boring, it is pretty important because it gives us names about places that truly existed in the ancient times. A lot of these places, they might not exist presently, but these are places that we can locate. And so there's a lot of great archaeological knowledge that talks about the reasonableness of Christianity. But that's not what we're really talking about here. We're not really focusing on the census. We're looking at some things after the fact. Right. Today I will be spending a lot of my time on verses 10 through 25, but I think one of the first things that I really wanted us to look at is the context of what David has done. What is it that David has done, right? And what matters truly is he claims in his heart and he claims with his voice that he has sinned greatly against the Lord. David, this guy who we saw to be this hero, this guy that we saw to be a very, very faithful person, this guy that we saw to be someone that's really special, someone that's really unlike people that we might see in modern times, David has done something very egregious against the Lord. And he admits very blatantly, I have done something wrong. Now, in addition to admitting that, he asked the Lord to sort of help him through it. He asked him to take away, in his words, the iniquity of your servant and things like that. But I think that's a really important thing to look at because what David provides us is a framework to deal with our sins. What David is demonstrating, despite his sin, despite his actions, despite his life, what David is demonstrating is how we present-day Christians in the 21st century, how we can take certain steps towards being righteous with righteous. And righteous is another way of saying to be in good standing with the Lord. And so when we think about our context today, when we think about our situations, when we think about our circumstances, really the question that I have to ask us is this. Whenever we find ourselves in the face of sin, what actions do we take? Now, David in this moment could have easily ran away from the Lord. David in this moment could have easily ignored his sins. David could have taken many different types of actions, but his first instinct was to do what? It was to go straight to the Lord and admit what he has done. How many of us have such a difficult time doing this? How many of us find this to be a challenge? And, you know, maybe some of us might find this to be a challenge because we don't like the feelings of guilt. Maybe some of us might find this to be a challenge because we don't like admitting when we're wrong. There's many different reasons why we will struggle with this passage. But the point of this passage is not to condemn what we fail to do. The point of this passage is to point towards hope. The point of David's example is to point towards a living and true hope that is here available to all of us today because our hope is in Christ. And so when we look at David's example, yes, we can talk about his sin, but really what we should focus on, what we should really hone in on is David's commitment towards doing the right thing. Brothers and sisters, as we contemplate on 2 Samuel chapter 24, as we contemplate on the actions of the Lord, as we contemplate on all the great things that he has done in our lives, as we contemplate our own actions, our own shortcomings, our sins, you name it, right? As we think through all these things, my question to us today is this. In what ways can you and I, in what ways can our family members, in what ways can our church, in what ways can our communities, in what ways can we as human beings, as God's people, take steps to be in right relationship with God? And what David is showing us is that it happens when we seek God out, especially in the moments where we don't want to seek God. What David is demonstrating is how even in his sin, he really wanted to turn away. He probably really wanted to hide from God, just like how Adam and Eve did. But instead, he took responsibility. He took a step into maturity, and he recognized the things that he's done wrong. Now, I think the crazy thing about this story is how after he has done all this, and after there was a lot of things that happened to David and the nation and the people, after all this, what does God do? Right? After all this, what does God do? God accepts him. God doesn't say, David, you will forever be cursed. You will die here, that blah 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 blah. God doesn't really do that. God really, he embraces David. And because of his embrace, what happened? David built an altar, but more importantly, David worshiped God. Despite everything that has happened, despite all the things that David had felt, what happened? He still turned towards God, and because of that, God embraced him. And because God embraced David, he started to worship God. Now, for some of us, we might find this to be a little bit challenging, and that's okay. For some of us, we might find ourselves desiring to do good, but we find so many things getting in the way of us being able to worship or even embrace God. But what I want to encourage us to consider is this. Despite the challenges that we feel, despite the difficulties that we experience, no matter what happens, can we take small steps towards doing the right thing? Can we take small steps towards turning to God? Can we pull ourselves up, recognize that we have shortcomings, recognize that we make mistakes, and despite all that, can we pull ourselves up and say, Lord, even though I don't have much to offer, I still offer all this to you. And God, because you are good, can we still worship him? Can we still worship God even when it doesn't feel like God is good? And I think this is a challenge for a lot of us. This is a challenge for me. This is a challenge for leaders. I think it's always challenging to try to orient our thinking and our feeling in this way. But what we can see from David's example is that the Lord responds even when we feel that he doesn't respond. So church, I want to encourage us with this today. There's no need to feel like you have to be the perfect Christian. There's no need to feel like you have to know every single thing. I have to know the scriptures perfectly and things like that. Though, of course, pastors, we will always encourage you to know the scriptures. Now, we're not there to burden you with it, because the scriptures are meant to be a blessing to our lives. But as we think about the things that we experience on a daily basis, church, I'd like to ask us, no matter what happens, can we turn our vision towards God? Can we turn our focus to him? And despite what we feel, can we worship him, even in small ways? Now, this doesn't mean you have to sing a crazy amount of songs. This doesn't mean you have to read 10 different chapters of the scriptures. But no. What I'm advocating for, what I'm asking us to do, is to take small steps to thank him, to recognize his presence in your life, and to ultimately realize that he is good and that he cares for you, and that he is there to support you in any ways that you need. So with that being said, let me pray for us really quick. Father, I ask just for blessings over us today. I ask that you'd help us really internalize David's actions. Lord, he could have chosen so many different things. He could have chosen to sin even further, but what he did was turn his gaze upon you. And as we look at David, I ask that you'd give all of us the strength and the courage that we need to turn towards you, especially in the midst of our sins. So Lord, would you be with us? God, I thank you, and I pray all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.